Praise the Lord. So I've asked the team if they'd come up, and you know, we can do it one at a time. That's okay. This mic works. If it's too tall, it shrinks down, Trent. If it's too short, Peter, we can lift it up. So this is one of those really cool microphones. So why don't we just start with, did you want to go, Larkin? No? Why don't we just have the whole team come on up? Let's have the whole team come up. Come on. So let's go Bob and Peter, or excuse me, Pedro.
Share stories tomorrow, next week as well.
Peter changed his name to Pedro.
Yeah. That's what? That's right. One, two, three. You did it. So, somebody, please just share about their wonderful experience, either to, there, or from. Misty, you're up.
Okay. I guess I'm going to get this over with, and I'm quite emotional for just a variety of reasons, not bad or good, just emotional. I'm not usually like that, but I am today. So I just wanted to let everybody know that God has a calling on our lives, and he has a calling on our lives for ministry.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor or you're in the middle. He has a call on your life. There's a specific ministry that he wants you to be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's more than one, but sometimes for most people it's just one at a time. And that was so apparent again. It's been so apparent so many times in my life. And it was so apparent when we went 9 miles off the main road to the Miztec people, to this community of people where we, you know, basically had the 50 children. They weren't all there that night, but we prepared the backpacks for them. And there was this man. I don't even know if he's a pastor. Is he a pastor? Did he
No.
go to seminary? No.
Angel?
He's just,
no.
He's an angel. He's just a man. And he was a man that's probably, let's just say he's 30. He's somewhere around there. And he was fit and handsome and not too big and not too small. And, you know, he went there. He got a calling from the Lord. He had visited there. He got a calling from the Lord, so he went there. And, I mean, literally, there's this little tiny chapel. There's this little tiny kitchen with this little tiny room. And then there's just some outdoor space where they're trying to school some of these children. So, I mean, this is extreme poverty, 9 miles in the middle of nowhere off a main road with wild horses and you name it. And he's been there for 2 years. And so somehow, I don't know a lot about him, but somehow God blessed him with this lovely woman. She was young and lovely. And they're just there. They're there in the middle of nowhere with little resources, serving these people. And they feel called by the Lord. And it's just like, it reminded me again that God always calls us for ministry. And we should always be looking like, what's the ministry? It's not just going to church. It's like the tithing. God wants us to tithe and he wants us to give. So he wants us to be involved in fellowship and he wants us to be called to a ministry.
Good word. Good word. Pedro.
Exactly what she said.
But you need to say it. You need to say it. Come on, Pedro. Why?
We are.
Go ahead. Mara, you come on up. I'll prime the pump while you're talking.
Okay. So a lot of you know I like to serve, and
it's broken. You have.
I'm all in. I'm good.
Are you good?
I'm good. So I'm fine. It's good. Yeah, I'm fine. So let me start over. So thank you so much for your prayers. Nothing is accomplished without prayer. So we know you guys were praying because we needed it. So, but a lot of you know I like to serve. I love seeing missionaries in the field serving because their serving is like on steroids. And the thing that really, really touched me was on Christmas Eve, we went to the church, the Miztecan church, Calvary Chapel, San Antonio, and we spent quite a bit of time there and met the pastor, Andy, and his wife, Monica. They're just lovely, lovely people. Andy has an incredible, just monumental story of being healed by the Lord, and there's just a lot of healing going on in that church. But after we spent, you know, like hours there, just lovely time, having a wonderful fellowship, great food, we come back and there's no water. And so, you know, before we even know there's a problem, the missionaries are on top of it. And so Ryan is just so gifted mechanically and just has so many talents. And so at 10 o'clock at that night, he's in digging in a hole where apparently the cow, their one cow they have, had gotten loose and broke a main water pipe and, you know, cut off the water supply. So it has to be fixed, like, now. And so it's Christmas Eve, you know, got to be doing it. And so we were out there with flashlights encouraging him, and he had such a beautiful attitude about it. Not, you know, not, he's very low-key anyway, but not a harsh word, not, you know, why did this happen? It's just like, go to it, get on it. And those people down there are just doing kingdom work is just off the hook. So they were such an inspiration to me, and I'm sure to the rest of the team, and it was just such a blessing to be around them because they've been down there 11 years, right? 11 years, and just, you know, it's tough. And so continue to pray for them, Ryan and Shay and their family, beautiful, beautiful family, and just a wonderful attitude, and it was such such a great example of Christ-likeness. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Stretched me physically and mentally. I had doubts about going down there because I'm sedentary, I'm by myself, sit around, watch news all day, do the market, all that. It was beautiful. Once we crossed that border in there, I had no worries. I didn't see a lick of news. I saw how these people lived with faith. They have no idea what's going on in the outer world, which is fabulous, which is fabulous. And we did some service projects, replacing some lights in the mess hall. We went to a very poor lady's house and dug out part of a mountain to put in a new latrine. And that Christmas Eve that we had a wonderful, wonderful dinner, you know, we met hundreds of people. And I forgot what I was going to say about the church that night. But anyway, we had such fellowship, and everybody came up to us. They were so sweet. And I don't know, maybe I was the tallest guy there, so everybody came over and shook my hand. But we had devotion twice a day. I actually learned to pray because I was forced to. You know, I had to pray every day. And so the people were wonderful. And I'm very sad to come back here where hysteria rules. I mean, it was just a dagger in my heart. You cry because people are basically, you know, they've lost it here. Those people have gained the Lord, and it's increased my faith. And that's it.
Amen.
Well, on their behalf, I'll just say, everybody that's asked them, you know, did you have a good time? And they said unequivocally, yes, they really did have a good time. The kids have an ability to reach past the outward vision of what someone looks like and just play with kids, who, no matter who it is. And it was pretty amazing. They were, yeah, Trinity fell right in line with all of those wild kids out there running and digging and whatever. And, you know, Larkin too. But one thing I want to say, I feel like Dave and I had a unique perspective on it because there were two distinct villages that we were at. One of them that they mentioned where Angel is at, it's the new place that that Shay and Ryan have just recently started going out and ministering to. They'll generally go once a month and bring a meal and serve and do some kind of outreach and just share the love of the Lord. And that's that particular village. You see a complete destitute poverty. you see the kids dirty. You see the dogs that follow everybody are hungry. And they're fighting over every little scrap. And every family that comes has like two or three of these dogs that just follow them in. And they're mangy. They're sick and their skin's diseased. And the kids, even though they're playing and having fun, there's a little bit of a vacant look in their eyes. And it's completely different. Now, the village where we had Christmas Eve dinner, that particular village was one that Dave and I had the privilege of visiting 15 years ago, I'd say it was about. The first time we were there was almost 20 years ago. So it's been quite a long time that we've been in the process of seeing that particular village. That village is completely transformed. That particular village at one time was like the one I mentioned, the destitute village. That village had been lack of men in the village. The men all would leave the village, so there would be women with babies and small children, and they were destitute. And their housing situation was so despairing, and they were lost. And now here we are a generation later, where they've had 2 decades of discipleship. They've had a strong foundation of pastors and missionaries there that have given them love and encouragement and discipleship and Bible training. This new generation, there were men that had been the kids before. Those men were there leading their families. They were healthy and strong. They had the hope of the Lord. They were ministering to everybody else. And it was incredible to see that and to recognize that that's what the love of the Lord does. To have that visual of what the love of the Lord does in lives. And so that's what I brought back.
Amen. Amen.
Well, in Mexico, I saw the kids and they had nothing. And I remember seeing their faces when they got the backpacks. And they had beautiful smiles. And I remember that we have so much and they have nothing. And it was beautiful.
I don't really have anything to say.
So who was your friend down there? Who'd you hang out with?
There was I made a friend on the ranch, and his name was Enan. He is the son of Ryan and Shay, so I saw him every day. Mm-hmm. We went on the events together, we had fun, and I just miss it there.
One of the great things, really, of the trip was our focus on God and Dave's great leading towards everyone having devotions each day. One of the studies we did was in the book of James, and that speaks of faith. And truly, that's really what we're required by God is to have a faith, and that faith is important for people in times of trials, these people who are out in that village. They need that faith. And what is the faith? I mean, teachings, which I spoke on, was how faith of those hard times really are the times, not that are you going to get through this, but it's really a faith knowing God will give you the answer as to whether or not you're supposed to endure or he's going to give you the solution. And these people live their day on a daily faith because they don't have food. They don't know whether a missionary is coming in for Christmas to give their kids presents. As many pointed out, the children really had nothing. When you watch them play in this small Metekan village and 9 miles off the road, kids are playing with sticks, they're playing with leaves, they're fighting, they're wrestling, they're playing maybe with a ball that's deflated and flat. They have so little to play with. And Misty was playing with one little boy shooting basketball, and he said, you know, I want to be a basketball player someday, a professional basketball player. But the amazing part was, he says, I've never seen a basketball game. There's no TV. There's nothing to see. Where do they get their dreams from that? Yet this little boy had faith that he could play basketball. And perhaps through God's will and that faith he has, some missionary will come down and get him into the basketball courts and get him playing or seeing a game, something such as that. The faith it required even to go on this trip. I didn't put a lot of thought into it. That sometimes with God, you just got to leap in. You don't think you have the words to say, the right thing to say, what to do. You look at Moses. Why do you select me, Lord? He selected him because he knew God knows what you can do. So you have those callings, you do it. Just like Angel, he's not a pastor, but yet he's leading a church down there. And these people, they're a family. They're really close together. There was a terrible thing in the Metekan village last year, or September, I think it was, actually. One of the guys, I don't know how deep of a believer he was, didn't sound greatly, but it seemed like he was fine with the family, but he went on a killing spree in his family and shot his wife, who fortunately survived, killed one of the daughters, and her twin sister was the only one untouched because he loved her. And to see the community, how it was impacted by that, because I don't know, that village, maybe there's 60 people, or I don't know how many are in there, not many at all. Such an impact because they're close family members. But a wonderful thing to see is in the faith of Ryan and Shay was that they brought this child in for a month or two into their own homes. And in the faith that God could help her heal and to see her integrated onto the ranch, that's not an easy thing. And as you watch these missionaries, they're answering in faith the call of God every day. I was thinking, I live my life, I got to worry about paying bills. I live my life, I got about going to a job. I live my life and worry about where I'm going to eat tonight. These people, what they worry about, how am I going to serve the people tomorrow? And their faith is that they will have the supply to do so. And it's amazing God provided the provisions to see what these people had. The lady's house we built, that we worked on to cut out this dirt area, and that was only a minor piece. This is probably a long-term house. She was living, actually, for a pretty nice place. It was a prefab-type house where they just put all the walls together. Interesting story from Ryan, how they found the last pieces in the factory. They got shut down, and they put it together for her. And what a great little place they've given her. And she's been supplied with a home instead of a cardboard box, instead of being into some lean-to somewhere. She really had a nice place. So really for myself, there was the faith that we'd get across the border after 3 hours of waiting, because that took a lot of faith. And we'd get a bathroom in time by the time you get there. The trip was great, and I really tell everyone that, what is your faith call? What is God desiring of you? That faith in to go out and jump out and do the work of Jesus, to show the love to other people, to make a difference in the world, to really cope and deal with problems. Lord knows I've had more problems in the last 5 years in this project, and how to fight through that. It was a good point for me to apply that to my life. And it's not that I want a solution. It's not that I want God to fix it. Just want to know what God wants of it and have the faith that he will show that there is a reason. Because in every valley where the grass grows, that's where we grow. On the mountaintops, when things seem good, we all forget and get into our ways. And we don't have to live on faith, but we can live on our own flesh. So anyway, I was just very blessed by the trip. I hope you all have a chance to do it. Next year, I'm sure we'll be doing something, whether it be India, whether it be where, who knows. We'll jump in and do it. Thank you.
It's too high. You know, I think sometimes when we think about going to Mexico on a mission trip, a lot of times we think of a vacation, you know, Carnival Cruise. You heard the stories. There were tears, you know, tears of joy. One of the things that is the byproduct is a spirit of unity. Every day we hung out together. I called up Pedro, and and it was just one of those things where it's like I just missed him. I'm used to seeing him every morning, having coffee early in the morning, and there's this unity that we develop, and it was just really, really amazing. We call him Pedro. Pedro is Peter in Spanish. But he's been Peter everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, it's Peter. It's Peter. It's Peter. At one particular time, we're introducing, hey, I'm Dave, and this is, and Bob, I'm Bob. And Peter goes, and I'm Pedro. And it was just kind of like, what? Okay, Pedro. And so it stuck. And he just wanted to, you know, fit in and feel a sense of unity. And you know, that is, it's an amazing thing what the Lord did. We put together a few slides. Can I get someone to cut the lights off? At least this bank right here so we can, one more, there we go. And if you can hit the play button, that would be killer. It's an amazing time, the unity that's brought on through struggle. And, you know, we show up not having any expectations, but truly there was just some things that had to be worked out. We figure out where our strengths lie, where our weaknesses lie, and it just becomes transparent who you really are. I mean, you can have a good face on Sunday, you know, but after painting a wall or picking on another wall, the flesh works its way out, and you realize I'm not as strong as I thought I was. And it was an amazing time, and I just appreciate everyone's prayer and the growth. I want to just touch on a couple of things and share some stories. But before I do that, I just want to read Isaiah 52, verse 7. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." And you know, that was one of that's the privilege we had, was to go and to share the good news. And you know, the good news is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and offers eternal life to the world. But most people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And Donya was right. She nailed it on the head. We saw the very beginnings. Actually, we first went to Mexico 24, 25 years ago to a different village, to a different orphanage. And then we came another time, and we actually brought supplies to help build this church. And you remember how steep those hills were. There was no road. It was just a trail. And we had to hike up and pack bags of concrete, and we just brought supplies. And then another trip we came, and the kids were feral kids, man. I mean, you didn't want to leave. Daniel got his first fight in a pack of five Mexican boys. I remember going, "Where's Daniel?" And someone says, "He's in the bottom of that pile there." And they're doing professional wrestling and playing around. And Daniel's like, "Let me out of here!" And I had to pull that kid out, and it was just kind of crazy. But that church is where we had our Christmas Eve dinner, and where we went to church on Sunday. But when we visited the place there at San Jose, that place was the feral place. That place was where there were no men. None of the men showed up. What they did is they sent their wives, their kids, and their dogs. There was at least three dogs per household. There was, 50 dogs there. It made past the word a breeze. You know, I mean, a little skirmish with the dogs is no problemo compared to 50 chihuahuas. I mean, it was just crazy. But it's amazing where the Word of God is planted, where lives are transformed. The three things I wanted to talk about is what I talked about 2 weeks ago, that in a mission trip, when Paul went out, there are three groups of people that are blessed. There are those to whom we're sent. And so there was some great things that we blessed the people. It really was great. Larkin was right. The smiles were amazing when people get in these backpacks, like, wow, these backpacks are bigger than me. One of the backpacks that I bragged an awful lot was Tarek's backpack. Tarek's backpack was amazing. I mean, I think he had a round of ammunition. He had a fire start. No, he didn't. But he really had a nice, the kid's name was embroidered on there. So when I went down there, a lot of the kids didn't come. When there's an event planned, sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. And that's kind of how it is until there's routine. And yeah. So we go there, and there's a handful of kids there, but we're going to leave the backpacks for the other ones. We had all the names, and then we had other gifts for the other church that didn't have any names on those. We had some extra backpacks. Praise the Lord. Well, I happened to tell one of the guys, I think it was Jair, about Tarek's backpack. Man, you got to check out this backpack. It's amazing. And I said, did you know that I met Tarek at Pass the Word. He's one of the homeless guys there. And he put this backpack together. And Jerry's like, well, hold on a second. Did you say a homeless man put this together? I said, yeah, he has some funds and somehow put this thing together. And he bought this online. Actually, he bought two backpacks. But this is his backpack to this child here. And he's like, did you say a homeless man put this backpack together? I mean, he was so blown away because they know poverty. They know what it is. I mean, the difference between being poor and being broke is being broke means you might get some money later. When you're poor, you're not getting any money. And he was just blown away. And so when we're putting backpacks, getting ready for the kids, Jair says, you got to tell them the story about the backpack. And I said, all right, all right. And so I was talking to Angel. And Angel's eyes just got really big. And he's like, did you say a homeless man put this backpack together? And I said, yeah. He goes, that's only half the story. You see, the other half of the story is this kid here, he's the most rebellious kid in the village.
Oh, my gosh.
Nope. Nobody likes that kid. But here's the... So this kid is the most rebellious kid. And because he's so rebellious, he's always in trouble. Get away, get away. And nobody loves on this kid. And so the worst kid gets the best backpack put together by somebody who doesn't have a home of his own. And I said, that is the Christmas story. That's the Christmas story of how Christ, who was rich, became poor, that he can give the best gift to the most rebellious of us all. Isn't that an amazing thing? It was just, wow, that was amazing. We Pastor Andy, he was one of the guys in the picture there, neat guy. He was backing up a van up on this hill because he was going to load a trailer up, and he popped out, and somehow it didn't get all the way into park. And he goes to the back, and it clunk, and it starts to go down the hill. And so Andy runs up and tries to jump in and slips and goes underneath the van, and it breaks. It crushes his pelvis. So they send him to the emergency room, and they put these plates. And they after look at the x-rays, they're going to put these plates in, and they're like, you're so broken that we can only put one side of the plates in. And then, yeah, they had to wait a couple of days because the plates weren't even in. They had to send away for these plates. And so he's in this horrific pain. So they said, we'll put one set of plates in. You got to wait 2 months, and then we'll put the other plate in. And he's like, oh, whatever. And so as they're there, Ryan and Shay give them their room and say, you sleep here. And after a month, he turns yellow. And it's getting worse and worse. They call the doctor to come look at him. And he's like, oh, man, you're so bad. Yeah, you got to wait another month. And Ryan takes him out and goes, is he going to make it? Is he really going to make it? And Ryan called a church in the States where someone knew somebody that knew somebody that had a doctor. And they brought him in. And they brought it, a firefighter brought him in. And he says, if I bring him in because he's got pre-existing medical, I can have the doctor see him. But if you show up with pre-existing stuff, like, well, go back to your doctor. And so this fireman was able to finagle it to get him in. And they said, the people at the office, they're checking him in. They're looking at how much he makes and how much it's going to cost. And I'm like, this will take your entire life. You can't pay this off. And he says, I just got to trust the Lord. The whole thing was paid for. The Lord just covered it, and every part was paid for. He was healed. Within 2 days, they took out all the plates. They said, I don't know what they were planning on doing or what they were doing, but what we need to do is, and that's doctor code, I don't know. They took the plates out, but within 2 days, his color was back. He was in bed doing pull-ups on the traction thing, just trying to move around because he's been laid up for months. 2 days. And they're worried about the money. The Lord just covered it. All the bills were paid for. And Andy's back there preaching the gospel, loving on people. In fact, he was there Christmas Eve. At the last minute, someone needed a quick trip back to the United States. He turned to his second and said, "You're on. I gotta help out a family." Loaded a family up, and they took him to the States. And he just gives everything for other people. It's an amazing story. Oh yeah, oh yeah, and he's building a house. And then you didn't get a chance. How many of you know Lynn? She's been here a couple of times at church. So we called her last minute Lynn because at the last minute she says, "Is there any room?" And I was joking about, you know, being in Mexico during Christmas and there may not be any room in the inn. And I said, "I don't know if there's any room. We might have to sleep with the cattle." And she goes, "No, I mean for me to go on the trip." And I said, "Well, I just talked to Bob's friend Matt, and I'm praying about having him because I don't even know him. I'll just put you on hold. Let me pray about this." And the Lord just gave us a huge green light. I got to talk to Matt's pastor down in Irving. Huntington Beach. We met him in Irving. It was just an amazing event. Anyhow, she met a gal named Ruth. And Ruth, I didn't hear all of Ruth's story. But Ruth, she almost died. I mean, she did die. So for those that didn't hear outside, this young girl, she had some bacterial infection. Her heart stopped. She died. In the middle of it all, she had a dream that Pastor Andy came in and breathed in her, and the first set went in and didn't totally heal her, and he breathed again, and she came to, and her heart started again, and she's alive. Just 16th birthday. Isn't that amazing? It's just what I found. Jeff Hurd and I, we share quite a bit, and one of the phrases that we use is, "It's always life and death." You know, we just think, "Oh, he's just this little problem." Always, you know, everything's life and death. We don't really know how fragile life is. When's the last time you guys got really sick and thought that you could probably die? I mean, it was so bad. Every one of us have gotten to a place where we're like, "Oh man," and we realize how fragile life is. And God has chosen to use us to be instruments to speak eternity into the hearts and the lives of people. It just amazes me. We had some work where there was some painting, there was putting up lights. We were helping Ryan and Shay, but really Ryan and Shay were looking for things for us to do. Can you hang lights? Yes, we can. Did you want them to work? So the people that are blessed are those to who we were sent to, but also those who were sent were blessed. Pedro talked about how his eyes were opened up. He's just like, "Man, I'm so refreshed being here." I mean, not only are we not listening to the news all of the time, but there's a sense of unity that we have. We spent breakfast, lunch, and dinner with each other. I mean, for you guys, like, "Oh gosh, didn't you get tired of each other?" You know, at times, yeah. But you know what we learned? We learned that we needed each other. We learned that you know, with one piece missing, it just wasn't the team. It felt awkward today counting who was here. And, "Oh, Lucia, she got hurt." That's right. And that same night, Giselle got sick. I mean, it was just kind of a weird spiritual battle was going on. And I told the team early on, it's not if we run into spiritual battle. It's when we run into spiritual battle. The enemy is going to try to rob, steal, and destroy. But the Lord has come to give us life and life abundantly. Shout out to Lucia. Yeah, Lucia did a great job. It would have been nice if we had a couple other Spanish-speaking people. I mean, no condemnation. But it sure would have been great to have some more men to come. You know, again, no condemnation. But the thing is meeting Matt was an amazing thing. Matt was a really humble guy. I didn't know what to take of Matt at first. He's a realtor, so you already don't trust the guy. And I went, wait a minute, I'm a realtor. But what I loved about Matt was he wasn't afraid to step out of the boat. You know, Matt and I were the ones that hung up the lights. And I said, wow, Matt, you're just doing a great job. He's like, I've never done this before. I said, well, we did turn the power off, so you'll be okay. And we kept stringing the lights up. And basically, they had these old lights that were up there, the iridescent lights, you know, with the long bulbs. And they're like, and we put LEDs in. It was kind of like we're 21st century now. But it was just so nice to hang out with Matt. And then we went up to the top of the mountain. Did you see the three crosses? Hence, Tres Cruces. At one time, there was only one cross. And one of the trips I went that Donya couldn't go, it was before my hip surgery. I got to the top of the cross, the top of the mountain. And up at what they've done is there's a big well. It only puts out like maybe 5 gallons a minute. And they pumped the water up the hill, and they built a reservoir. And you saw the benches that had part of Revelation was carved into it. That's a big reservoir. And then they use the gravity to get the pressure, so there's pressure for the showers and all of that. Well, the year we went up there, they didn't have all that yet. It was just one single cross. And we did devotion up there. And at the time, wherever I went, I had a cane. Never saw me with a cane. Actually, my gait was about like this. This is where I walked. When I had my hips done, I actually was taller because I could stand up straight. And afterward, it's been a long trip. I couldn't walk. I realized I couldn't come down the mountain. And that's a steep hill. I mean, when you go get up there, you look down, like, I don't want to get down, you know. It's like, you just run. And my brother said, I'll carry you. Fat chance, man. You're not carrying me. He goes, I'll carry you. And what I was envisioning was him doing this. I got you, man. And he goes, no, get on my back. And then I thought, well, okay, if you fall, at least I got some cushion, you know. And I got on his back, and it was so humbling. But yet that is what that trip does for people, is it brings this sense of unity. The first trip we went down there, there was these big signs because there's always water wars. Who gets the water? The farmers, the cities. And big old signs would say, fruit grows where the water flows. Now, is that not a spiritual concept right there? This year, it was at big beautiful pictures of fruit and stuff, and it just said, the magic of water. And I just thought, there's another spiritual concept of just what the Lord does as he just waters our heart with his word, as the Spirit anoints, just the magic of the transformation that happens, the unity that happens. It was really, really great. The devotions were something that the Lord put on our heart every morning. We had morning and evening. We were trying to stay true to Spurgeon. And so we had James in the morning and 1 John at night. And you know what? It was really cool to sit back. I only had one devotion. I opened the book of James. And then we just went from there, and everyone shared. And it was just powerful teaching, powerful lessons. It was extremely amazing. Just amazing to see Lucia share. She was just like nervous, and Peter and Bob, everyone shared a great devotion. It was fantastic just to see the growth in people. It was funny when Peter said, I learned how to pray there. But you know what? That's we learn our strengths, but we also learn our weaknesses. I think we walk away realizing, boy, I need to lean on you more, Lord. I need to lean on you more. And when I recognize my weakness, I look at my brothers and sisters in a whole new light, because they're going through their own strengths and weaknesses. I was really blessed to hear Larkin talk about looking at what we have. We're at the table the other morning, and I said, what's one lesson that you learned? Just one of all the different things, you know. Trinity, it was so funny when we were introduced to Enan. Shay said, you know, this is Taya, and we have Asa, my feral child, Enan. And I said, I've got a feral child. Where's Trinity? And those two were like bread and butter, peas and carrots. I mean, they just, wherever Ian was, it was just, there was Trinity. Wherever Trinity was, Enan was there. They're playing games, running amok. You still think Trinity's faster. You think she's faster? Yeah. But, you know, also, the blessing goes to those that were sent, those who were sent, but the blessing also falls on those from whom sent. And you guys sent us. David made a decree that the spoil is divided evenly between those who go to battle and those who watch the fort. And, you know, this was a great opportunity for people to rise up and to stand in the gap. This is a great opportunity for George to share. And it's nervous. If that's not something that you do all the time, it can be nerve-wracking to step up and to help set up and help clean up. And, you know, I thought about what Danya shared about the two different cities, you know, the tale of two cities. What the Lord is planting here now, we'll see the fruit 5, 10, 20 years from now. And you know, sometimes we look at, where's the fruit now, Lord? Well, sometimes the Lord gleans and prunes and allows things to happen in the way they are. I mean, that's one of the things that we learned is we just trust the Lord. We were driving down. Okay, so we've got last minute Lynn. We have Mad Matt in the back. And we're driving down. We get a phone call from Shay. Can you pick up Taya's friend, Michelle? Who is Michelle? Oh, you'll find her. Just go to this park. All right. She's your friend, your daughter's friend. Okay, so we decided to go, and we find her, and she jumps in. I'm thinking, man, you've got some faith. I mean, jumping into a car with strangers. I tell my kids not to do that. And so we're having dinner, and I'm talking to her. I said, so have you ever went in through Tecate? And she goes, no, we don't go through Tecate. We always go through TJ, Tijuana. That's where we always go through. And so I'm trying to rely on the Lord, and I say, Lord, are you telling us to go through TJ? So I say, well, are you comfortable with having us go through TJ? I mean, you save like 20 minutes, which in Mexico time is 3 days. So we're thinking, and so I said, are you comfortable getting us through TJ? She's like, yeah, I could, okay. I said, great. I said, Bob was the head van. I said, Bob, Michelle's going to lead us through TJ. And he's like, oh, okay, that's a change. I said, I'm just trusting the Lord on this, and we'll just see what the Lord does with it. Because I was open to what the Spirit would want, a new experience. And really, the Lord didn't want us to go through TJ, but he wanted us just to be willing to go. Willing. And she actually texted Ryan and Shay and said, I guess we're going to go through Tijuana. I don't really remember the way. How do I get there? And so Ryan texts me and says, dude, just plan A. Okay. But here's the thing. Are you willing? Not that we had to go through Tijuana, but the Lord just wondered if I was willing to go through Tijuana. If I was willing to step out of the boat. And I want to encourage you to be able to step out of the boat. When we came back to the community center a couple months ago, we talked about old wine and new wine. The old wine was coming back to the old routine, old way of doing things, and it was needed. Needed to get it out of the elements. Needed to be in a place that had some heat, place that we could sit a little more comfortably. By the time we got here, we had already been at Coco's parking lot for 8 months. We were over at Bob's place for what, 4 months, 5 months? We were over at Colton Hall for almost exactly a month. And Colton Hall was a place where you couldn't stay in your car. And so it just made it one more step of uncomfortable. And it's almost like the Lord says, are you willing to go a little deeper? Just a little, are you willing to go deeper? There's a portion in Ezekiel where he's measuring the temple. And he gets to a place where he says, now I want you to go out into the river. And he goes up and he goes to his ankles. And the angel says, go deeper still. Then he goes to his knees, and the angel says, go deeper still. Then he gets to his waist, and the angel says, go deeper still. And then he's over his head, and the current takes him. And the picture is, when we first come to the Lord, it's just a joy. It's like playing in the surf. You're in your ankles, you're like, woo-hoo-hoo. You know, mom says, don't get wet, it's just my feet. And then as you grow, the water comes to the knees. And it speaks of prayer. And it speaks of being on your knees, interceding for other people who don't know. And then as you start to work with the Lord, you find yourself up to your waist. And it speaks of reproduction. It speaks of evangelism. It speaks of sharing and growth. And then the Lord says, now are you willing to go deeper still? And at every point of our life, we don't have to. We could stay at the ankle. We can stay on our knees. We could stay evangelizing, which is great. But there's a call, like what Misty said, God's called you for a ministry. And sometimes what he wants to see you is just say, Lord, just take all of me. And it's no more my effort, no more me at all. And I'm over my head, and my cup overflows, and the Holy Spirit is just flowing through me. And that's what he said. If any man is thirsty, come unto me, and from his innermost being will flow what? Rivers of living water. Flowing through you. Not just you being in the water, but it flowing through you. And so the old wine was to come back here and to pick up where we left off, the ministry to the body, but it's also to plant deep roots, like over at San Antonio. We saw deep roots there of the maturity. Seeing some of the grandpas there and some of the men that were the kids when we were there. Youth leading worship. Solid roots. There was a picture of a vineyard. And I took that picture because on the backside of San Antonio, it's just a few minutes drive to Ensenada. And the vineyards, the wine companies have bought a lot of land, and they just got all these vineyards. And you can tell when they were planted because you've got just little seedlings, and then you got thinner vineyards and vines, and then you got the deep stock, the deep roots, the old growth. And you know, that's what we have here is we have old growth. And you need the seedlings. You need the thinner vines, but you need the old stock. When I was in Israel, I was at an arbor. This big old vine had come over, and there was the vine or the branches. And our guide said, I love this arbor because from this vantage point, you can't tell where the vine begins and where the branches end. It's all one thing. And that's what the Lord desires in us, is that you can't see any of us. It's all him. It's all fruit. It's all his Spirit working. And so it's the old growth, but we need the new wine. And it speaks of new ministries. It speaks of new seasons. It speaks of stepping out of the boat. I know some of you don't like long drives. Sometimes it's okay. The Lord will give you a ministry that would fit you. But you know what? There are times when the Lord says, you're my servant. Come to me, child. And I want to encourage you, whoever you are, if the Lord's been knocking on the heart of your life, I want to encourage you to open that door, to step out in faith. It's difficult at times. We made it to Mexico and back. Few bruises, flesh wounds, but it's okay. It's time for us to step up and to step out. I think as a church, I was so, if I could say proud, to watch you guys grow and to worship out at the parking lot there at Colton Hall. It was amazing to watch you guys. Was it uncomfortable? You better believe it. At times it got wet, didn't it? But you did it. So what's the next thing the Lord's going to have in store for us? Are we willing? Are we willing to go? Let's plant new seeds and leave the fruit up to the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that that you brought us here as we are preparing our hearts for communion to remember that one-to-one relationship that we have with you. It's a personal commitment that we have between you, Lord, but it can't remain private. You said, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and they would glorify your Father who's in heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to shine bright in whatever capacity that might be. We love you, Lord, and we lift our voice to worship you, and we live our life to give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.